couple of weeks ago, I was set to go and visit someone from church who lives at the other side of Romsey, about 25 minutes from my house. I get in the car and I set up my sat nav because I'm not great at finding places all of the time. And unfortunately, as always seems to happen with this particular drive, I've not left enough time there to get there on time again. I don't know if you've ever had those moments when you think you have enough time to get somewhere and then you turn on a sat nav or something and you realise that you're running late. I hate being late. Does anyone know what I'm talking about, those moments? Anyway, as I turn on the engine, not only do I realise that I'm late, which is kind of getting me slightly stressed as I hate being late, but I pull out of the driveway only to find perhaps maybe 30 seconds to a minute later, I hear the ping of the petrol light come on. It then dawns on me that I've forgotten that we've been running on the warning light of our petrol for the past couple of days. So I'm quickly trying to make mental calculations as I drive along about how many miles it would take to do the return journey and how many my computer says that I have. And Erica will tell you that I'm not great at mental maths, so much so that I have to use my fingers. And that wasn't going to happen because I was driving in the car. And obviously, I wouldn't take my hands off the wheel. To add to that pressure, I'm not really sure, and I don't know if you ever cut these moments, so you're not sure whether the computer is exactly right, and whether those calculations of those miles are actually the miles that you've got in your tank. So if the car computer is accurate, then that's fine, but what if it runs out just as you go past that last petrol station that you see for miles? By this point, I'm really stuck in kind of two minds. Do I stop for petrol and be really late, or do I carry on and hope I have enough to get there and back? What puts even more pressure on is I can't even ring the person to tell them that I'm going to be late because they're out in the sticks and they have a very dodgy reception. As you can probably imagine, I'm getting really stressed at this point whilst thinking all of this through. I miss my usual petrol station and I'm already past it by the time I realised. And now I'm just about to enter the motorway. And you know those moments you get, there's no turning back. You enter the motorway, there's no turning back. And as I travel along the motorway, I'm watching the miles slowly tick down, but it seems to be making kind of good progress. I come off the motorway, because it's only a short little stretch, and with the miles far better than I thought they'd be, but still slightly dicey for a return journey, I'm thinking. Then I remember, there's a petrol station just before I start going into the countryside. Lifesaver. You'd think so. But as I approach it, I'm kind of still debating, what do I do? You know, there's moments you have with yourself, you're chatting with yourself, kind of going, shall I, shan't I? This is the thing that went through my mind, could I actually even make it back to this petrol station on the way home? And after all, if I stop, that will mean I'm even later. So I say to myself, in that spur of those moments as I'm coming along thinking about it, let's go for it. But at the last minute, that you've ever had these moments, I lose my nerve. At the last minute, I lose my nerve. Perhaps it's because I can hear Erica say, that wasn't very clever, was it? As I relay the story of breaking down to her because I wanted to see if I could make it back. Perhaps it was the inevitable delay that I know would ensue if I did actually break down. So I pull into the petrol station and fill up. Definitely lighter in the wallet because there's always those times in there before you enter certain places where the petrol is perhaps slightly dearer in certain places. And so there I am going lighter in the wallet, but knowing that I'm going to get there and back. I arrive to my destination with a full tank of petrol, a slightly elevated blood pressure, but actually not as late as I thought I would be. Why am I telling you this story? Because sometimes I believe, much like my car, I believe that we can find ourselves as people running on empty. You know what I mean? Life is massively busy. You're doing school runs, going shopping, doing the cooking. You're working long hours. You're not spending enough time with the kids or the grandkids. You have a family crisis, a health situation, a financial matter. And it's all just building up day after day after day, week after week, perhaps even month after month. You don't really remember perhaps the last time you properly read your Bible, chatted with God. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't. What I mean by this is that it is more like you snatch moments with God in between the other things that you find really important. So you're not having that real committed time. The problem is that for many of us, it's not that we've run empty once, but we've allowed it to become a normal part of our existence. That we've learned to kind of just run on empty, run on the fumes of our strength. Now, I don't know a massive amount about cars, but what I do know is the more you run your car towards empty, the more dangerous it is for the mechanical parts of your car. I had a friend who used to just go around running on empty. And it's a really dangerous place to be. You see, at the bottom of the tank is where the sludge gathers that causes the issues, where it can get into the areas of the car that can cause damage. If we constantly run on empty, we will cause damage to ourselves, and it will take a whole lot of repair to get back to where God wants you to be. Now, I know that you would know this, but I'll remind you about this morning anyway. God doesn't want you to live a hard life. He doesn't want you to live a mediocre life. He wants you to live a life in all its fullness. John 10, verse 10 says, "I have come," Jesus says, "that you may have life and have it to the full." Now, I would suggest this morning that you can't possibly live the life God has called you to if you're constantly in danger of running on empty. I wonder this morning, if you think about your own life right now, are you running on empty? As it says up here, running on empty, question mark. I'm not saying you are, it's a question. Are you running on empty this morning? Or are you in danger of just about hitting that light and the emergency light coming on? Most of the time, of our feelings of emptiness, our tiredness, our anxiety and our fears, our lack of motivation perhaps at times can come from the fact that we've not taken time to replenish ourselves by truly taking time to be in God's presence. And not only that, but to be filled with his Spirit. You see, you and I were created to walk step in step with the Holy Spirit. Not to do it in our own strength. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "But I say walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. Be in step with him. Let him lead. Let him guide you. Don't let him be kind of like just an emergency aid when the danger light comes on in our lives. This morning, I sense God will want to remind us simply that we're not called to run on empty, but we are called to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We're not called to run on empty. We're called to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts 2, shall we? I know we started with it this morning, but Acts 2, verse 1 to 12. Let's read those words together. Many times you'll have read these words, I expect, if you've been in church on any given Sunday or Pentecost Sunday particularly, but maybe perhaps other times as well. These words, but may, as we read them together, may they breathe new life into our spirits. Acts 2 verse 1 to 12 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place," much like this. "So Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, not some of them, all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medians, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene." That is a lot of places. And quite complicated words to say. "Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" May God bless his word to our hearts this morning as we continue and we ask ourselves, are we this morning running on empty? Or are we running in the overflow of the Holy Spirit? Are we being filled with his presence? God delights and wants you to be living in the fullness of Christ rather than running on empty. I'm sure that every one of us would agree with that statement. If we know Jesus, I'm sure we would agree that we want to be filled with his Spirit. Yet so often we don't stay as filled with the Spirit as we should, but instead perhaps just with life. We do things in our own strength, and before we know it, we can find ourselves time and time again in the red danger zone. I'm a little bit like that when it comes to my driving. We tend to not think about filling up again until we hit the warning light. Bing, oh, warning, that must mean we're nearly empty. Why do we wait for that moment? Physically, when we're driving a car, we're waiting for that moment. We know it probably doesn't do great for our engines, why would we? But secondly, why do we wait for the ping to go on our spiritual barometers to say, I'm coming close to empty, close to running on fumes? But before we bring the remedy and we look a little bit more about being filled with the Spirit, I think we first need to diagnose the problem, don't we? You go to the doctors, they don't just give you the remedy, do they? They allow you to kind of, they want to speak and they want to know what the problem is first. So, what causes us to run on empty? What causes us to run on empty? When we speak about, or we talk about running on empty, the problems always stem from how we're doing spiritually. Not that being close to God stops our issues, but being filled with the Spirit helps us to deal with everything that comes our way. Now, there could be many causes as to why we may be running on empty, choosing to, or maybe just not thinking about it. But here are a few that you might relate to. Personal circumstance. A problem's arrived in your life you weren't prepared for. It might be a finance issue, a health diagnosis. It might even be a relational issue. It saps your energy. You try and deal with it yourself, because that's kind of what we do as humans. We think, right, how do I deal with this myself? And we perhaps don't ask God to help us to deal with it. Secondly, motivation. Your zest for life, that can be a bit of an issue. It's perhaps been dampened by the things going on around you. Perhaps a situation has just sapped all your energy. Maybe God hasn't answered your prayer in the way that you think he should have done, and that kind of stops your motivation a little bit to wanting to connect with him, because it's like, well, he didn't answer how I want to answer. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't want to know because he hasn't said it in the way that I want him to. Perhaps it's you're too busy. God can wait because I really need to do this. It's important. If I don't do it, things are going to fall apart. Perhaps you're just tired. You're just plain tired. And just the energy to just spend time with God, just in bed, just like, oh, can't be bothered today. Can't be bothered. Perhaps you're in this a place and it kind of saps the energy and you're running on empty because you don't actually believe that God actually wants to say anything to you. Perhaps you don't have the confidence that he really wants to connect in and to share his heart with you. The disciples, they'd been on quite a journey. And they were running on empty. They'd seen Jesus, their teacher and friend, had been arrested, convicted, sentenced to death for something he didn't do. 1 minute they'd been learning, doing life together, and suddenly a death sentence hung over Jesus' head. Within hours, they watched as he was crucified on a cross and buried in a tomb. Finality, nothing more. It was just seeing the end. The grief they must have felt in those moments must have been pretty overwhelming. All Jesus had promised was now over. At least that's what they thought. Yes, they probably remembered some of the claims that he'd made, that he would rise again. But perhaps their grief and the sheer impossibility of the scenario didn't allow them to believe. Perhaps they were scared and uncertain about what would come next. But within 3 days, everything had changed again. They were first filled with disbelief and then with elation as they encountered the risen Jesus. Only to then receive another shock when Jesus told them he'd be soon returning to the Father. And perhaps more uncertainty ensued for them about what would come. Would this roller coaster ever end for them? Would they ever feel normal again? You could pretty much say that the warning light on their tank was probably blinking and was very bright at this moment for them. What was for certain for them, and also I think what is for certain for us, is that you can't go on empty forever. You can't go on empty forever. The disciples couldn't run on empty forever, and nor can we. I wonder, do you feel like this right now, or have you ever felt like the disciples did and just feel like you're running on empty? Well, there is an answer. What's the remedy, as they say? The remedy to running on empty is quite simply getting refilled. It's quite a simple answer, really, isn't it? If you're empty, you get filled. But here's the thing. What are you filling yourself with? What are you filling your tank with? You see, if you're filling your tank with the wrong thing, it's not going to help you at all. If you have a petrol car, you do not want to fill your tank with diesel. If you have a diesel car, you do not want to fill your tank with petrol. It causes problems. It either totally wrecks your car or causes you quite a lot of money to fix it. What you fill your life with and what you fill your spirit up with is really, 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 really important. The disciples needed something more than the world could offer. They needed the gift that Jesus promised. They needed the Holy Spirit. And we do too. The only thing that is going to be beneficial and going to help you in the long run to stay filled and to live a life with purpose is to be filled with the Spirit. The arrival of the Holy Spirit would empower them, would give them hope, would give them purpose and help them to live in the overflow of God's presence. The great news is the Holy Spirit is open to all. That means the Holy Spirit is open to you and to me, is open to the world. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, he sends the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us. John 14, verse 15 to 16 puts it this way. If you love me, keep my commands, Jesus said, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Verse 36 continues, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. But I want to suggest this morning, more than just having the Holy Spirit in your life, you need his empowering. Because the empowering gives it hope. Empowering gives you purpose. Empowering gives you help. Notice what Jesus said to the disciples. If you flip back to Acts chapter 1. So just before the day of Pentecost came. This is what Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were going to need a lot of power, disciples, because to be witnesses to the ends of the earth in the world of biblical times was a massive place. The world is a massive place. They would have been up against persecution, against people that didn't like Jesus, didn't like what he stood for. It wasn't an easy task for them to do what Jesus was asking them to do. But he doesn't ask us to do things without also empowering us to do it, to be filled with his presence. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered, and so do we, from day to day, moment to moment, week to week. So what does that look like? What does it look like for you and me to be filled with the Spirit? Because actually it's okay saying you need to be filled with the Spirit, but what does that mean? First of all, it means we encounter God's presence. Christianity is not just a theory or a head knowledge, but as you often hear me say, it's about having a heart experience. God is not some kind of far-off being. He doesn't care about us, but rather he wants you to have a personal encounter with him so that he can fill you with his Spirit. Acts 1, verse 1 to 4. Let's read those words again. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. What does encounter then look like for those that are filled with the Spirit? Well, it looks different for everybody. On the day of Pentecost, the believers encountered the Holy Spirit, and they sensed it through the sound of a blowing wind. They had tongues of fire on their heads, which kind of represents a physical manifestation of the Spirit. So to show people that he was there. Now for you, you may feel something physical. You may feel like heat. You may feel tingling. You may fall over. You may feel something emotional like joy or laughter. Or you may feel incredible peace. Or perhaps you may be filled with tears. Now there's no right or wrong in the way that you get filled by the Spirit. There isn't. God reaches and meets with us right where we are at. For those who've never encountered the Holy Spirit before, it may seem strange, or you might be wary, or you might be kind of a little scared, like, what if something goes wrong? But know this, God won't do anything to harm you or to cause you distress. He has only got good things for you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to fill everyone with his Spirit, everyone in this place, without exception. Now, for those who are perhaps new to the talk of or the work of the Holy Spirit, the first time you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit is known as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then any kind of subsequent times that you sense God speaking to you, or, you know, you feel tingling, or you just feel just that God is all with you and in you, then that's kind of being filled. It's called an infilling. Now, I remember the first time that I encountered the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't in church. I was in my living room when I was 14, 16. That's where I encounter God for the first time. I don't have to be in church to encounter him in a specific way. You don't even have to be prayed for. If you're open to the Holy Spirit to come and move in your life, you'll do something. So I was in my front room. For others, you might be in church. For others, it could be anywhere. But you can be filled with the Spirit, or you can have your first experience of the Spirit, be baptized in the Spirit, wherever. It's just about being open. Everyone's experience will be different, but what this is for sure, your time with the Holy Spirit will always be life-affirming, and it will always be life-changing. Secondly, what does it look like being filled with the Spirit? Well, it means about being empowered. We just mentioned that. Verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled. They were empowered. When the Holy Spirit fills us, he does so with his power. His power to be an effective witness in our world, whether it be through our actions or our words. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's not for a select few, it's for all of us. We're all included. He wants to empower us. You know, give us an extra bit of strength to do what we need to do. Now, the Holy Spirit at this time in the scripture we're just looking at enabled the believers to speak in other tongues, which in turn affected the crowd around them. And that's what the gift of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit is all about. It impacts the world around them. Verse 11 says, the crowd were utterly amazed and they proclaimed, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. When God fills us with the Spirit and then he uses that, it has an impact. It will teach people that don't know him something about himself. The truth is, whenever we're filled with the Spirit, people will take notice. And this whole situation with them speaking in tongues and other tongues of the people that were gathered there from all the different places, then Peter got up and he spoke about it, empowered by the Spirit, boldly preached the gospel, and 3,000 people on that day got saved, which is amazing. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you may be empowered to speak in tongues, like God's heavenly language, but you may prophesy. You may have discernment about something going on in a situation, yours or someone else's. It may be that you're bold in wisdom or have great faith to do something amazing for God. That's just to name a few. There's many, many gifts that God gives. These kind of gifts at the time help to bring encouragement to the body of Christ, but also empowers us to be faithful witnesses outside the church walls, to speak into people's situations, to pray effectively. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-off experience or even a once-a-year experience, but a regular experience. At least it should be for us, because God offers that. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us for everyday living, not just once a year. And coupled with any desire that we have for more of God, it should cultivate that hunger for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit at every opportunity. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, commentators point out in this verse that it's the present imperative tense that's used, which means this verse implies that we should be filled with the Spirit. It should be a constant replenishment or an ongoing state of being filled. So nowhere in there does it say anything about running on empty. It says everything about being replenished and being filled, not once, not twice, but regularly. So how do we stay full? We know what it means to be full, no one need to have it, but what's it, how do we stay full? How do we make sure we stay in those right places? First of all, we need to acknowledge our need for more of God. See, the reason I feel that, and I believe many of us find ourselves running on empty, is because we fail to realise the importance of regular fill-ups. And before we know it, we are running on those fumes. The truth is, you don't need to be more busy. You don't need to read the latest self-help book on how to feel fulfilled and have purpose. You actually just need to be filled with the Spirit where you are and stay filled with his Spirit. We'll never be as effective on our own as we can be and will be when we have God. There's a certain element and a certain percentage of effectiveness you have as a human being. But if you really want to make an impact on your world, in whatever sphere of life you're in, be filled with the Spirit regularly, day by day. That's where the answer lies. Pretending that we're okay or we don't need to fill up gets us nowhere. We need to have hunger for more of Him. Psalm 63 verse 1, You God are my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, my whole body or my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So first you've got to acknowledge your need for God. Secondly, you've got to make space in your busy schedule and then wait patiently. The famous saying goes, everything comes to those who wait. And there's no truer word said than when it comes to seeking God. The disciples were told by Jesus to wait. Perhaps the disciples thought they might have to wait a couple of hours or maybe a day at tops. But you know what? They had to wait 10 days. 10 days they were waiting in that room for 10 whole days. I think we're so used to having things instantaneous, aren't we? I was thinking about it as I was thinking they waited 10 days. I think I find it difficult at times to wait 10 minutes. Waiting 10 minutes for something to happen that I need to happen. But they waited 10 whole days. We're so used to having things instantaneous. We switch on the computer, we can get on the internet and do what we need to do. We can get deliveries, we can book holidays. And I think so much we've lost the art of waiting, of focusing in on what's important, allowing God to direct our schedules, allowing space for God to speak. The disciples did it for 10 whole days. They gave God everything. They gave Him total space because they saw what was important and they made a choice. We have a choice to make every day and a choice to make today. Are we going to position ourselves in a place where we allow God to speak? Position ourselves meaning putting that time aside, positioning ourselves for God to come and speak and saying, God, you're the most important thing I need. We can make excuses, can't we? We're too busy. The kids are too noisy. My day is too long. I'm tired. I've got too much work. I'm not well. But the answer to all of these stresses and strains of life is not keeping going and running on fumes and running on empty. But it's actually to spend time with God in His presence. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Thirdly, what do we need to do? We need to be like a sponge. Anybody like sponges? I don't know. But we need to be like a sponge. So, I don't know. When was the last time that you were filled with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time that you kind of said, God, come and fill me up so that I can be empowered, so I can sense more of your presence? Was it last week? Was it yesterday? Was it last month? Was it the last time we spoke about the Pentecost Sunday, which was last year? Or perhaps you even can't remember, or perhaps you didn't even think it was a possibility. That probably comes to every eventuality in this room. If you haven't experienced a fresh infilling or an infilling of the Spirit, it's likely you're a bit like this sponge. This sponge is a little bit stale. It's probably not been used since, well, I don't even know when the last time it was used. It's kind of stale and a little bit rotty. And, you know, you may feel this morning that you're kind of a bit far from God. You may feel like He's not answering your prayers. You may feel like decisions are hard to make, that life is just overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, this sponge was designed for water and to be used to clean. In the same way, you're designed to be infilled with the Spirit. Imagine with me for a moment, this sponge is you, and inside this bucket I have water, and this bucket, or this water, represents the Holy Spirit. As you spend time in His presence, as you ask God to infill you afresh with His Spirit, what happens? Well, let's have a look. What happens? You can probably see that. This sponge is not only as it filled with water, but it's dripping with the overflow of water. God doesn't want you to be dry. He doesn't want you to be stale. He wants you to be overflowing with His presence to the point of that it keeps coming out from everywhere. I know this will sound very, very weird on the recording, but it is water. Water coming from the overflow. This water, this sponge is now ready to do what it should do. When you spend time in God's presence, when you're overflowing with His Spirit, when you allow it to overflow into your lives, then you're ready to do something. To do something good for Him. When you're filled, it overflows into your family, into your neighborhood, into your workplace, into your church. It can't help be helped. It's a byproduct of spending time in His presence. You don't come out of being in God's presence dry. You come out being really, really wet. And really overflowing with His power. And with His goodness. Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't I want that on a daily basis? If we know that that's what God wants to do, why don't we do it? Why instead do we run on empty? Why instead do we think we're too busy or too tired or too overwhelmed when the very place where we need to be is in God's presence so He can fill us up so we don't feel like that? What stops you? Why would you want to live running on empty when you can be filled with His Spirit? The only thing that will ever stop you from being filled with His Spirit is you. Not willing to give, create or give time and space. And it's only you that can sort this. The truth is, if we want it, if we desire it, every day can be a fresh infilling for you and for me. Each experience with the Holy Spirit is unique, it's transformative, and it changes our lives. We don't have to wait for a special occasion to invite God to do something, because the invitation is there every day. It's here today, it's here tomorrow, and the next day, and the choice is yours as well as the choice is mine too. But the reward for putting the effort in a life, it is a life that goes from running on empty, on danger, with the warning lights on, to a life which is being filled and being has a life of purpose, hope and strength. I know which one I need. I know which one I want to choose. Do you know which one you would rather choose? Let's pray together, shall we?